Today I'm joined by Trevor Warner, a businessman with some interesting technologies that he is currently working on licensing for use in various countries. Trevor Warner, thank you for joining me today on the Corbett Report.
No worries, James. My pleasure. Glad to be here.
All right. Good to talk to you. I know that you're currently involved in securing contracts and licenses related to your business, so I understand there are some specifics that you can't get into at this time. But in your own words, please tell us as much as you can about the business that you're currently involved in.
Well, probably just the availability of the technology. I'm sure the military have had certain technologies for a long time, but now that's starting to converge into the retail market. Probably since the 3G network has been rolled out with the GPRS communication network across the world, it's opened up a lot of doors for a lot of people using mobile phones. Think that it's just a one-way communication, but in actual fact, it's a two-way communication, and it all comes down to what software is set up in the device.
So to be specific, what you're selling to customers is a type of technology for processing electronic payments through mobile phone technology?
Primarily, yeah. That's been our business plan. Like, just for example, I used to be in the construction business, and you go and do a job for someone and you give them the bill. Our device allows the payment of that bill straight away, whether it's credit card or just your normal, in Australia we call them FPOS cards, electronic funds transfer, point of sale. Mm-hmm. So we're previously the subcontractors or whoever delivers an invoice to a customer, and they may have had to wait 7 days, 14 days, sometimes you never get paid. But with our technology, it's allowed us to be able to give a device to a contractor, and he has the ability to take payment straight away, and that payment is cleared into his account within 24 hours, I guess. And if the customer's got no money, he knows right there and then that the customer's got no money to pay him. So it alleviates lots of problems within that industry.
Right, certainly does. So what type of customers are generally interested in your product?
So far we've found people in the transport industry, fast food, home delivery, transport particularly, but also, as I said before, the tradies in the construction industry, they've also expressed interest, but what we are targeting at the moment is the transport industry.
I see. So I understand that the product that you deliver is primarily for processing electronic payments, as you say, or processing payments right away. But I understand there's also a number of software peripherals that can add on to this basic product to suit customers' tastes. Can you tell us about some of the peripheral software that might be available?
Yeah, well, that's an ongoing features that are being added to the device. Security is a big one. As your audience may or may not know, Visa and MasterCard are moving from a signature paperwork type system into an electronic PIN number. Our device has got the capability of being plugged into similar to your in-car cell phone kit that allows you to talk while you're driving. And to that device, we can attach things like infrared thumb scanners, similar to what's on Microsoft keyboards and mouse pads and laptops these days. Very similar. If we want to take it to the next level, we could probably even configure retina iris scanning. It's just peripherals, and it's just software, and of course the network to be able to transfer that data successfully and securely to the bank for authorization and then back to our device. But we can also, as data's flowing along those lines, we can also take copies of that data for our own storage and our own reference. And I'm sure NSA was probably already doing that anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Well, so this technology also has smart card reader capabilities.
Yeah, that's right. The device takes just your standard bank account access cards, MasterCard, Visa card, Diners, Amex. What else is there? Those types of payment systems. But now SmartCard is starting to take security to one level further, and also like in-store cards. I'm not too sure what you have in America, but like in Australia, we might have Flybuys, which is a loyalty program. We can provide things like that that's built into the smart card, and also the RFID smart cards. We've got the capability of configuring that type of system as well.
So I suppose theoretically this technology could be used to scan any sort of RFID tag that a customer might have, from driver's license or passport to a product tag or whatever.
Well, that's the interesting thing there, James. I'm not a technician. I don't know how these protocols work. I just know from our technical guys that Visa and MasterCard are going to RFID down the track into the smart card. So I guess those customers, or the customers using those cards, if they walk within, the distance is about 2 meters, 6 feet from one of our terminals, we can pick up the signal from that RFID device. But we can't authorize or authenticate any transactions. So I guess your money or your funds are safe in that respect, but we know, or we can tell, we know the identity of that person, and they may not have even used our service.
Exactly, and I guess that presents an obvious advantage to your customers, in that they can identify their customers very easily. And in the example of a taxi driver, for example, the person couldn't try to do a runner, because obviously they'd know who this person is.
Well, that's right. If how many times has a taxi driver had a fare run off on him? If he's got a Visa or MasterCard in his pocket, we know who that person is, and then the police can track that person down.
Of course. Also, I understand there's video and audio capabilities that come with this mobile-type technology as well.
Well, yeah, one of our devices is essentially a mobile phone, so really any feature that it can be built into mobile phones these days. That includes media players, video cameras, sound recording. So I guess if you really want to go way out and Big Brother wise, we could record audio conversations in say for example a taxi. We could take video footage. We could even set up a feature that if the taxi driver gets attacked, he can just press a panic button and the video already automatically starts to record. So hopefully the police can catch the perpetrators of that assault. So there's many things that can be used. But like I said before, a lot of that is sort of, some of the public isn't quite ready for that level of security.
Yes, in our correspondence, you mentioned that you don't think the marketplace is quite ready for all of this ID, this RFID-type technology. Could you elaborate on that statement?
Well, just different people I've spoken to. Like a lot of people, I used to do seminars in tax structuring and international multinational corporate structures and that sort of thing. So I got asked to present it at a number of seminars around Australia and also overseas. Just people I was talking to there, they're really fearful that the government is getting too much information. And with RFID and biometric scanning and all that sort of thing, it's just, yeah, I just don't know. Those people express their concern about, I guess, that technology falling into the hands of a bad government, but other people say, well, they're going to do it anyway, so it really doesn't worry me. But even thumbprints, I've listened to Alex Jones, and like he talks about Texas now has got the thumbprint scanners, and yet you talk to people in Australia about thumbprint scanners, and they go, that's no good. I'll stick to my PIN number. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of people have concerns with this type of technology on the Big Brother type issues, as you say. But getting into specifics, what do you think are some of the concerns that might be raised with this technology if it were to be used by an unscrupulous corporation or a governmental agency that wasn't acting in the best interests of the citizens?
Well, one of my concerns with the digital age, and if I believe Alex Jones has shown some examples where the police have taken data collected and fabricated evidence to secure a conviction, the person was perfectly innocent. If you've got a digital, let's just say a digital locator, they can put you at a particular place. If your fingerprint is digitalized, they can recreate that fingerprint at the scene of the crime. It's where does it end in that respect?
Yeah, it does sort of incorporate all of the most basic facts we take about just moving through the physical world. Suddenly we can be placed anywhere at any time. I think also there are some other issues that come up with this type of technology regarding not only how the data is used, but just the fact that it's being collected. Could you paint a verbal picture for us? I'm trying to get an understanding of what this technology might look like from the average Joe's perspective in the context of a police state. Describe for us what it would look like to take a taxi, for example, if we were in some sort of Orwellian 1984 type society.
Well, I guess you couldn't pull the typical sickie any longer, because if your boss has access, or if you have a corporate prepaid transport card, your taxi card, which we offer, every time you use that card, your boss or the person looking after the accounts knows where you got picked up, where you got dropped off, how much the cab fare added up to. So I guess there's that data. If you're on the run from the police or the IRS or any government agency that wants to track you down for any reason, if you've got any, well, I guess they can do that now with a mobile phone if you have that, but with the RFID, the GPS locators, and all that that we can configure, they can pretty well demand or hand a court order to us to say, right, you're using this technology, we want to track this person down, there's a court order, hand over all your stuff, and you could be quite merrily on your way running away from these people. But if we didn't have our technology in the market, you might actually get away and not get caught. They can pinpoint you pretty quickly.
And I guess that raises another fear as we move towards a cashless society, that basically if the government deemed you a terrorist or someone worthy of taking into custody, basically all they'd have to do is turn off your smart card or whatever, and you wouldn't be able to pay for anything.
Well, that's the other thing too. All this technology is wonderful to have in a device, but if at the end of the day, if the customer doesn't authenticate or isn't allowed to authenticate the transaction, it comes up on our device as payment declined. So, yeah, that's right. If you rely on that totally for your survival, day-to-day cash requirements, one flick of the switch, really, and that's it. No more money.
So the technology is always a double-edged sword. There's always the advantages and disadvantages, and it depends on how it's being used. And as you mentioned, some of this technology is really already in place. Governments have the ability to track people through their cell phones by triangulation and that type of thing. But it's the centralization of that into one database or in one easy way of reading it, like a smart card or something, that I think is a lot of the concern for people with this new implementation of technology.
Well, that's right. Here in Australia, they're just trying to push through the national ID card again, and that's primarily for government services like medical and housing and that type of thing. So, if they've got these systems in place, it's, I guess it comes down to the old checks and balances things, but we've seen how that's been abused over the years. It's a real difficult one to try and figure out. I guess, like you said, all that data is being centralised, and whoever's got access to that data can basically control your life. How many movies have we seen, like The Net or Enemy of the State? Like, that's real. That's the technologies out there now to be able to do those sorts of things.
Absolutely. It's quite terrifying from that perspective. And it's also interesting that all of these national ID cards are being implemented separately in different countries all at the same time, like Australia, America, Britain. Just a coincidence, I'm sure.
Yes, well, we'll just stick to that's a coincidence. I'm sure there's many theories out there on why, but just from my own personal point of view, we all know that the current monetary system being set up in countries isn't working. The countries are getting further and further in debt, so they have to keep increasing their taxes all the time. And there's a lot of people out there that don't pay their taxes. Some people pay more than they should. Other people don't pay any. So I guess if you're an honest citizen and want to do your best for your country, it can catch the tax cheats. But how many times have we seen the IRS and the Australian Tax Office fabricate evidence and walk in and just take people's homes? I know people that lost everything they owned, and they stood in court with all their receipts and proved that they were doing the right thing, and the government still come in and took everything from them.
Again, I guess it's a question of not the technology itself, but how the technology is used. But Trevor Werner, thank you very much for sharing the information about the technology you're working with.
Yeah, no worries, James. My pleasure. We just want to give the banks a bit of a shake up and get some of their enormous profits.
All right. Thank you for joining me today.
No worries, James. Talk to you next time.